That gets me every single time. Did you notice that Malzie's growing his hair back yesterday?
No, I thought when Rick Springfield, the last time he came out with that song, is when Malzie had hair.
I know, but it seemed yesterday that there were hair follicles reemerging on Malzie's cranium.
I hope so.
Usually I put down little notes, little one-word reminders during the break so that I remember what I'm talking about when we get back. And my two phrases here to remember are Zach Fraser and Rick Springfield. You don't often see those two in the same little sentence, do you?
Well, we hit on Rick Springfield. I don't want to hit on Zach Fraser.
Well, before we get to Fraser and what you just mentioned, Springfield update. I believe he's coming here this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. And our guy, Andrew, has been in contact with the folks at Rivers Casino, and presumably they're in contact with Springfield's people about him either coming into the studio and judging the Malzie songs based on his hit. And he had a number of hits. Didn't Andrew just tell us 17 top 40 hits?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. That's
really, really good. Like, you know how hard it is to probably get five?
You know how 17? Hard it is to get one? Very few people in the history of the world have gotten one.
That's why we went over one-hit wonders last week.
He could just sing his top 40 hits and call it a night. What's 17 times four, Malzie? Limit.
Well, I mean, you're talking about like an hour and a half show.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, between that and talking to the audience, 2 hours, you're done. This guy's incredible.
That'll be his entire show.
He may come in here and judge our Malzie songs, or he might include a line in that song with Malzie in it. If he promises to do that, does Malzie have to go to the show?
Yes. I don't think there's any chance that he includes Malzie's name. Because the only people that are going to get it are like us and the listeners, which might be a large part of the show.
That's thousands of people, though.
But what if there's a group of people who are at this show that has no idea? He's like, Malzie? Guy from the radio on The Fan?
Do you have the little clip from the actual concert? I mean, he says that phrase probably 15 times. I've done everything for you. You've done nothing for me. If he sneaks in a Malzie, the whole point is nobody will notice.
Live in concert.
Right. At least 10 to 15 times that gets sung within the parameters of that song. Sneak in a Malzie. Right?
So don't sneak in a, he done nothing for me.
No.
Can't do that.
You don't necessarily have to. It'd be nice if he did that, but you don't have to.
What if he ends the song saying, I've done everything for Malzie. It's the final word.
Phenomenal.
The final thing that he says in the song.
Historic. And I think we might get him in studio. I'm shooting for Friday. Listen, we were supposed to do celebrity football picks every week, but then no celebrities showed up so far through 6 weeks. Maybe he'll be the first.
Yes.
Is that possible?
I hope so.
What about Zach Fraser? What's going on here? Our friend Noah, or what's his name?
Our friend Nick Farabaugh.
Nick Farabaugh.
From Slippery Rock.
What does he report?
So Nick is saying that that Zach Fraser came through the locker room today as a boot on his left foot / ankle area. And that Fraser used a rolling scooter to get around. Never a good sign.
No.
And Nick just tweeted that his sources are saying that the week-to-week designation is accurate for Fraser, but he's expected to return after the bye. So Nick says expect to see Ryan McCollum the next 2 weeks.
Ooh. Jets tied for third in the NFL in sacks, I might add. And they may be first or second in pressures. I can't remember where I saw that stat, but I know for a fact they're tied for third in sacks. And pressure up the middle is the last thing any quarterback wants. And that's one reason, really the main reason, that I am, in fact, arguing for Justin Fields this week on a very quick hook to make the start. But I'll be the first to admit I'm basically living in my fears in endorsing Justin Fields. It's a very flimsy case, and it's based entirely on his running ability. The case against Fields is not complicated. He has trouble throwing the football accurately. Limits. That's sort of in the job description here. That's like saying this mechanic over here has a little trouble with cars, right? He has trouble delivering the ball through the air accurately. I'm sorry. He just does. I would start him this week with the potential for a quick hook simply based on the fact that a potentially rusty Russell Wilson, who's being described like he's late stage Johnny Unitas with the Chargers, instead of a guy who can absolutely still move around. He just can't move around as good as Fields. Few can. That's why I think that's the smarter play just this week. And if things go poorly early, I would have Wilson ready. So it's not like I'm shouting from the rooftops, you better start Fields. But a lot of people are. A lot of people are, like, passionately. You're nuts if you don't play this guy. What can Russell Wilson do that Fields can't? Well, potentially propel the football through the air better. Pass, in other words. In his last two games, Fields is 29 of 54. That's 53.7%. That stinks. For 274 yards. This offense right now is 20th in scoring, 19th in red zone efficiency. And they're coming off two crappy games. Like, to me, it's very disingenuous to sit here and say, how in the world can you replace a quarterback whose team just scored 30 points, which they never do, in a blowout win? Sounds great. Sounds obvious. But I think the quick answer to that is, wow, that's a very, very simplistic and shallow reading of the Raiders game. You don't exactly have to dive into some combination of PFF and sharp football analysis, deep analytics, to realize that the offense actually wasn't very good in that game. They had 290 yards of offense, which is nothing against a horse crap Raiders team. Two of their touchdown drives were dead drives until they were revived by roughing the passer. And I'm not talking about like, oh, they would have had a hard time coming back from first and 25. No, I'm talking about those drives were dead. Fields threw a horrible interception, which was not affected at all by the roughing the passer, because that obviously came after he released the ball. That might have gotten him pulled from the Raiders game. If that roughing the passer isn't called, Justin Fields goes to the half losing 7-6, no touchdowns, with a 44 passer rating, which is why everybody wonders, would Tomlin have gone to Wilson in the second half? Fields was bad in the first half. He got bailed out by that call. And then in the second half, they had a third and forever and a little dump off and ready to punt when an even worse call happened and bailed him out. They had another situation where a block punt put them on the Raiders 9 and they went backwards 10 yards. People are talking about this game like they were the 07 Patriots. Give me a break. Analyze the game. Sometimes the final score is deceiving. That offense did not play very well against the Raiders. 32 points or no 32 points. And it doesn't take a deep dive to realize that, to fairly analyze that game. I'm for Justin Fields, but not passionately so, just in this game, because this offensive line is beaten to a pulp. We just heard the latest bad news. Zach Fraser moving around on a scooter. And last I checked, they don't allow you to do that in the game limits. So I'm a little bit fearful, living in my fears here of what Russ will be like with a leaky offensive line. Then again, there's a chance he could make up for that by quick decision-making and accurate throws. So I give Fields a slight edge just for the start of this particular game. I'm certainly not on that soapbox that others are. Like, what the hell are you doing? Come on, analyze the Raiders game with a little bit more than they scored 32 points. There's a lot more to it. This guy's having the same problems through the air that he had in Chicago. They have had a paltry pass game. Now, is he contributing to the problem, or is he overcoming deficiencies in front of him and around him? That's a fair question. And if you play Russell, maybe you find out more about that. And if Russell stinks and is even worse, then you go back to Fields. And I know Ben said that, you know, pulling Fields now could kill his confidence. Well, A, if it does, he was never your guy in the first place, if getting pulled is going to ruin him. And B, he better get over that real fast if he wants to have a future here, which is maybe to say a future in the league. Okay, surely he understands that Russell, that Tomlin going to Russell Wilson would surprise nobody, that you could justify it very easily based on the last couple games in which Fields has been shaky through the air at best. Come on. It's not that crazy of a thing to go to Wilson. There's arguments for both guys. Offense had 293 yards against the Raiders, but it was the week before, in my opinion, the week before that Justin Fields blew his opportunity. He was coming off a good game against the Chargers and then a spectacular second half against the Colts that had people, including me, thinking, maybe this guy really is different. Maybe there's not just goodness, but greatness in there. Maybe there is. He had a crappy, wounded Cowboys defense coming in here on a national stage with a chance to leave no doubt that he was the guy, that things were different. He was no longer Chicago Justin Fields. He was a new man. Not just going to be okay or good, but maybe a star. And there's no way in hell he was going to let Russell Wilson take this job. I think he had that opportunity. And he fell short. The offense stunk that night against a Cowboys defense that had allowed 72 combined points to the Ravens. Then I forget what the other team was. And you might have noticed, Ravens and Saints, for God's sakes, 72 points. And you may have noticed that when Dallas left Pittsburgh, they gave up 47 to the Lions. The Steelers managed 226 yards against a Micah Parsons-less Dallas defense, 3-for-12 on third down. And Fields just wasn't very good. Connor Hayward didn't help him by dropping that early ball, but the Steelers actually gave him opportunity to strike down the field. That one, that was Hayward's fault. Then there was one that should have been picked right in a guy's hands. Another one to Mount Washington. That was a bad throw pointed out by Collinsworth. He's not a very good passer. Can you survive in this league when you're not a good passer? Maybe as a starter. But he's just not a consistent deliverer of the ball through the air. That's a problem. I'm sorry. And the other argument that's out there is, well, they're winning. Aren't the Steelers all about winning? They're 4-2. Okay, they're two games over 500. They were two games over 500 when they fired their offensive coordinator last year. And this offense is barely outperforming that one. Did I mention they're 20th in the league in points and 19th in red zone touchdown percentage? When they fired Matt Canada last year, they were 6-4. And Mike Tomlin admitted for the first time in his 17-year tenure that just winning isn't good enough for the Steelers. He finally admitted what we've all been saying. And nobody goes back and acknowledges this, why I keep saying it like every day on the show. Nobody will go back and say that, wow, Tomlin actually admitted what we all have been saying for the previous how many years, that their formula doesn't work. He told the football world, we need to engineer victory more fluidly. Sirens and buzzers should have gone off because that was the first time Mike Tomlin ever said something more than just winning is good enough. We win, that's it. Well, apparently it wasn't, because there were two games over, 6-4. And he said, we need to engineer victory more fluidly. And the way to do that is to score more points. He said that out loud. So stop using the argument that the Steelers are 4-2, and that's always been good enough for them. It wasn't good enough for them last year. And it's still not good enough for them, and good. And I know Tomlin has also contradicted himself by saying, winning is our business, blah, blah, blah. He's admitted now, he's on the record, that just winning isn't good enough. And he said it this year, too. Yesterday, he said it. That we've been... Justin has been really good. We've been really good at times, but not to be confused as great. Just winning is not enough. Being really good at times. How about that qualifier? We've been really, you know, saying it about Fields. Justin has been really good. We've been really good at times, but not to be confused as great. So please stop saying, why are they benching a guy who's winning? First of all, 4-2, they're not winning that much. Against crap competition. They haven't even really played the big boys on the schedule yet. Those are coming. And to completely ignore that is to just bury your head in the sand. Because the whole point here is, how will this translate? And I would say, coming off two games where you're barely completing half your passes for no yards, not well is how it would translate. So please... All the arguments for Fields are flimsy, and I admit that when I say I'd have him out there for the start. The least flimsy of them is the offensive line at the moment is broken, and I need a guy back there, I think I do, who can run around and keep plays alive and maybe win with his legs. But I'm also willing to acknowledge that Russell's experience, he may be able to make up for that with his arm. So to answer Dan Orlovsky's question, what can Russell do that Justin can't? As a former quarterback, he should know the short and easy answer to that. Throw the ball. Come on, Dan. Let's hear what Ian Rappaport said about this situation. Go ahead.
One great thing about having an excellent defense is you do have some margin for error, right? Like, you have the opportunity to say, we're going to go with a different quarterback, and we think it's going to be better. If it isn't, that's okay. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if both quarterbacks end up playing in this game. And look, at some point, he doesn't have to name a starter, but you figure at some point Mike Tomlin will say, here's our starting quarterback, but he doesn't necessarily need to. And I'm not sure how much it would really matter. I mean, if you have neither of these guys has really elevated himself from the other, if it's week, whatever it is, seven? Is it week seven?
Yes.
If it's week seven and we still don't have a confirmed starting quarterback, then it's okay to say maybe they both play. Now, you're right. I would consider playing Russell Wilson to be at least a curiosity from Mike Tomlin. And yes, Justin Fields has been good. But as he mentioned, is it championship level yet? Maybe not, and, you know, look, we'll see if Russell Wilson gets it there, but we will see, as Mike Tomlin said.
It hasn't been good enough. It's gotten worse. I thought he played a really good game against the Chargers and looked like a great quarterback in the second half against the Colts, but it's gone backwards since then. I mentioned the stats, and they could easily, by the way, these paltry passing stats in the last two games, by all rights, should also be littered with turnovers. I mentioned the horrible throw against Dallas right in the guy's hands. He drops it. I didn't mention the wildly inaccurate Kenny Pickett-like sideways pass that was actually a backwards pass, a bullet to Jaylen Warren, the type of play where there's nobody back there, and the defense just picks it up and runs for a touchdown. Luckily, Warren made kind of an unbelievable play to recover it. Nobody talks about that play. And then the horrible interception that might have gotten him pulled at the end of the half if he didn't have a questionable roughing the passer. So, I don't know. Is the defense excellent? Is it? I thought it was at the beginning of the year. I think I may have gotten fooled. I don't know that this is an excellent defense. They're not even top 10 in yards allowed. They're second in points allowed. They played an Atlanta team that has since become very good, but offensively. But Kirk Cousins, he hadn't gotten out of bed in a year. That was his first game. Then they played Bo Nix. Then they played a Chargers team without Herbert for almost half the game. Then they played Flacco. Then they played the broken Cowboys. And then they played the hideous Raiders. And they're not even top 10 yards allowed. I think the defense has been pretty disappointing over the past 3 weeks myself. I don't know how you feel, Limitless Wonder. That's how I feel.
Pretty similar. I mean, this is Mike Tomlin's defense that's the highest paid defense in the NFL, and the offense is in the bottom five in the NFL. Sometimes you get what you pay for, and the defense has just not been good enough.
When you say offense bottom five, what do you mean?
In terms of amount of money that is spent on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
So defensively, you expect big plays, which they had against the Raiders. And the first half, I think they were fine in that Raiders game. They were good. I mean, the Raiders are not good. But Dallas and the Colts, I mean, those are pretty inexcusable performances. In moments when they had to make big plays, that's what Tomlin depends on. They didn't do it. And they should face criticism.
They got ravaged on long drives at key moments by both those. I don't know. I don't know if this is an excellent defense. And like I said, I just read the schedule. Things are going to get very, very challenging after the bye week. The Jets are going to be challenging for sure. I don't know about the Giants here. But then you're going at Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, at Cleveland. They stink. Okay. Then you got at Joe Burrow. And we look at his numbers. He's having a giant bounce back year, even though the record's not good. They're going to be desperate.
And that's a primetime game in Cleveland, too. So that's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Then Cleveland again. Your two Cleveland games, those are good. Then at Philly, and then within a span of 10 days, at Philly, at Baltimore, and Mahomes, and then Burrow again. So I'm sorry, but if you're Mike Tomlin, he should be looking for more. Really good at times needs to be really good all the time or great. That's what you're shooting for. So I don't blame him. Even though I would give Fields the start here this week, with a very quick hook because of this offensive line, please don't hear that, and I'm sure you're not at this point, as an unqualified endorsement of Justin Fields. I understand what Tomlin's doing here. Got a tweet from a guy saying, remember when you said the Steelers have a new quarterback and his name is Justin Fields? And of course, now he says, oh, you're changing your mind. What an idiot. It's funny how that works, isn't it? That actual games on the field change minds. I always get a kick out of that with people. Like if you predicted Team A to go 4-13 and they started 8-0, would you change your mind or still believe they were going 4-13 even though they're 8-0? It looked to me, and it was in fact true, that Justin Fields became the Steelers quarterback. You might not have noticed, Twidiot, that's a combination of idiot on Twitter, Twidiot.
I like that.
That Russell Wilson's been healthy for 3 weeks and hasn't played. The guy who's number one on the depth chart was an emergency quarterback for 2 weeks, then a backup. Why was that? Because Justin Fields was playing well. He became the Steelers quarterback. I was right, much as that might pain you. And then it changed, like things often do when they play games. People lose jobs. People get fired. People get demoted. People get promoted. And yeah, observers' opinions change. Coaches, GMs, fans, and talk show hosts. I have less of an opinion of Fields than I did after the Indy game. But even with that opinion, he was always on a job interview, right? And as I went to great detail to explain, his biggest job interview was the Dallas game. And if he had played great that night like he did in the second half in Indy, and he played pretty good against the Chargers too, if he plays great that night and they win, he's still the quarterback. They're probably going to beat the Raiders no matter what. He had earned a bad game against the Raiders, if that had happened, like a horrible game, whatever. His audition was on national television against the Cowboys. If he had built on that second half, and they gave him an opportunity. Connor Hayward didn't help him. by dropping that ball down the left sideline. But Fields misfired on a number of others, and the offense was awful that night against a rancid Cowboys defense. So guess what? My opinion started to change. Guess who else's opinion started to change? The head coach. And probably a lot of other people out there. And then it started to change a little bit more with this last game, which in my opinion was very, very deceiving. The final score and the number of points that the Steelers put up. So call me crazy, but a lot of my opinions are based at how the games turn out. My opinion right now of Evgeny Malkin is he looks to be in great shape and primed for a big year. I'm not saying a 100-point year, but all things considered, a pretty big and good year for Geno. But if it goes the next 20 games and starts to, you know, look his age a little bit more and goes into a huge goal drought and a point drought, again, call me crazy, but I might change my mind based on what I see in the games. What's wrong with people, Limits? Honestly.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you could phrase the answer to that question, but shouldn't this is a results-oriented business. And I think that that's something that Mike Tomlin is currently gravitating towards. And he also has that thought of the unknown and what could be with Russell Wilson. He's seen him from afar. He's seen him in practices, but he's never seen him in the game. So that aura around Russell Wilson is still there for Tomlin.
Do you agree that Fields would be the quarterback right now if he had used these last two opportunities and played really well and they're sitting here at 5-1? How do you switch quarterbacks then?
100%. I mean, I still think 4-2 is pretty difficult to change quarterbacks.
I think Tomlin changed his mind. I think he did.
It's very aggressive from the Steelers where Tomlin in the past, I mean, think about this, in the past calendar year said Kenny Pickett wasn't good enough, move on. You trade for Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
now you're saying Justin Fields isn't good enough at 4-2.
I thought Kenny Pickett was going to be good. I did. So did Ben Roethlisberger. He was a pretty good quarterback, wasn't he? He must know something about quarterbacking. He said after Kenny Pickett's rookie year, he surprised me. He's better than I thought. I think he's the answer. So how about you go tweet Ben? Because Ben changed his mind based on how Kenny played in year two. You know why? Because they played games. That's what happens. And our minds change. God, I'm sick of that crap. Yeah, I blocked him.
The block party.
The ignorance is overwhelming.
How many people do you have blocked on Twitter?
It's the gotcha people that does that guy change his mind on the way games go? Him too. What'd you ask me?
How many people do you have blocked in your list of blocked
Can you check
users?
That?
Yes.
Oh, come in here and check it after the segment. I'm going to guess 10,000.
10,000?
Yeah. And that's not a tenth as much as I should have blocked.